Well, I'm sure it won't have escaped your attention of many of our listeners that the NHS is urging eligible adults to get their flu vaccine urgently because the region generally is experiencing an early and very intense flu season with cases already triple those seen this time last year, with the current wave of flu hitting the NHS more than a month earlier than usual. And Australia, as a matter of interest, has already experienced its biggest flu season in history. Australian, often seen as an accurate predictor for the UK. And since East Yorkshire is currently experiencing a significant and early surge in seasonal flu cases among humans during the winter of 2025, which health officials are describing as potentially one of the worst seasons yet, and mindful that there is another resident doctor strike planned to run from the 17th of December to the 22nd of December, just immediately prior to Christmas, this will place additional strain upon medical staff resources at our hospitals. So I decided that it was prudent to invite along to Beverley FM local GP Dr. Simon Carruthers of the Old Fire Station Surgery here in Beverley for a chat about the situation locally and to provide some guidance and what we might say words of wisdom to us on this subject. So Dr. Carruthers, a very warm and healthy welcome to Beverley FM.
Yes, thank you very much, Terry, and happy Christmas to you.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. I hope I survive Christmas anyway. So tell me, what is flu? How do we know we've got it?
Yeah, so flu is a viral infection caused, not unsurprisingly, by the influenza virus. And it's spread by droplets when people cough, sneeze, or even talk. And the problem this year seems to be that there's a new and quite virulent strain in the community. And as you've already said in your introduction, Australia, which is, of course, just going from its winter into its summer, has had a particularly severe
experience
with the influenza virus of this year, and we usually follow on from it. And that seems to be the pattern that we're beginning to see both in the community and definitely in hospitals. Apparently, last week alone, there were about 1,700 people hospitalised with flu, which is probably about 50% at least higher than would be normal for this time of year.
If it's not a funny question, I mean, all year round we sneeze and we talk and we do all this and we do all that. What is the particular problem this year then?
As I said, it's a new strain and it seems to be particularly virulent, causing more severe illness than would be usual.
Right. So what are the, shall we say, the symptoms? I mean, we've heard about man flu, but when do you get real flu?
Yes, so real flu, I think the first thing to say is very different from the common cold. Common cold, as we're all aware, is usually of a relatively slow onset with some sniffles and a bit of sneezing and a sore throat. Flu usually comes on quickly, and the symptoms generally are severe enough to make you feel like you need to go to bed, which makes it somewhat different
shivering,
from the cold.
Temperature,
shivering, muscle aches and pains, headache, stuffy nose, cough, sore throat, and sometimes in children vomiting and diarrhea, but that is less common in adults. But I think the key really is the prostration that comes with it, the sense that you feel really unwell and you need to be in bed.
I mean, those first few symptoms you mentioned were a bit like sepsis, the shivering, the high temperature, and then of course we come to the cough and the runny nose, which isn't sepsis, but you can get a bit confused as to what you're heading for.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. But otherwise, generally healthy person who develops those symptoms and you've got the runny nose and the cough and the sore throat and it's just come out of the blue, then generally at this time of year, in the circumstances that we're finding at the moment, I think you have to think you've probably got the flu.
So it's no use me saying to my wife, I feel like death warmed up, I'm going to bed, I'm going to have a glass of whiskey. Is there some specific treatment I need to be getting?
Yeah, so that really depends, I think, is the long and the short of it. So if you are the younger, healthier type of person, then really you don't need any specific treatment other than the usual treatments that we all use. So drink plenty of fluids, paracetamol, ibuprofen and plenty of bed rest.
Right.
But, and there is a but, that if you are older, so over the age of 65, and particularly if you have other medical illnesses, and we're talking about things like diabetes, chronic heart disease, chronic lung disease, diseases of the kidney and the liver, if you're pregnant as well, then it's probably worthwhile seeking some medical advice if you have the severity of symptoms that we just talked about, because we feel, and the direction from the centre is that we should be thinking about antiviral drugs for people who are at risk as early as possible.
So when you say get medical support, is that through the local GP? Because it's always difficult to get an appointment, as you probably know. The 8:30 queue, you know, you are calling number 135 or 111. What's your best route?
I think in this instance, really, and I think my GP colleagues, if they're listening to me saying this, should probably, if, as I said, if you're in those at-risk groups, you probably should be approaching your GP practice, at least to talk to a GP or an advanced nurse practitioner about it, because what we want to do, of course, is to try and keep people out of hospital as much as we can.
Yes, yes.
And to give them the treatment which we think can reduce the chances of significant illness, and that is going to be antiviral treatment, and we probably need to get that to the patient within the first 48 or 72 hours of their symptoms.
Now, you know, if anybody's going to go ill, it's always going to be on a Friday night when you're closed for the weekend. So what should they do?
Then they should phone 111 to get their advice.
Not go to A&E?
Definitely not go to A&E, no.
Because that's a misuse of that service.
No. So 111 will probably direct them to the out-of-hours GP service in the first instance.
Right.
Unless, of course, the symptoms that you're describing to them are of such severity that they feel that they might want to
call
an ambulance. Yeah.
Because if you go along to A&E, all you're going to do is to spread it.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you're going to be sitting there probably for many hours spreading it as well. So I think we need, out here in the community, to try and do as much as we can to keep people out of hospital.
Prevention, yes. Yeah. So, talking about prevention, how can I prevent myself from getting it?
Yes, so I think there are obviously some kind of straightforward things which we all kind of remember from COVID. I think the first thing...
Always carry a hanky.
Yeah, the first, yes. Yes, so carry a hanky, and if you're going to cough or sneeze, cough into the hanky or into the crook of your elbow.
It always puzzles me why we always sneeze twice.
Yes, some people sneeze a lot more than that, of course. That some people,
but you never seem to sneeze
eight
once,
or ten times. No.
So, as a doctor, you don't know the answer for that.
I'm afraid I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, we need to do some research.
Yes,
there.
I know.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. But, I interrupted your flow.
But into a handkerchief or into the crook of your elbow. Yeah. Ideally, if you have got the symptoms that we've described,
yes.
I think the best thing to do is stay at home until you feel better again,
yeah.
And only go out into public space if you really need to. Washing hands, of course, is important as well. We don't want to be spreading things around on surfaces.
No.
But I think one of the main reasons that I wanted to speak about this today is that we still have a number of people who are eligible for immunisation on the NHS,
right,
to who have not been immunised. And I would
who are we talking about then?
Encourage. So we're talking about everyone who's 65 years or older, or those people with chronic illnesses that I've listed already.
Yep.
People who are frontline carers, people who work in residential homes, etc.
Pregnant women?
And pregnant women,
yeah. What about children?
Yeah, so children are offered a vaccine, and they from the age of two within the surgery, and also I believe they get it at school as well.
So do children, is it the needle or is it a spray?
It's a little spray that goes up the nose, so they don't need to be frightened of a needle.
Right, yeah.
But I would encourage everybody, particularly if you have a chronic illness of some description, to get vaccinated. And of course, if you're worried about picking up the flu and you don't qualify for a free NHS jab, you can go to a local pharmacy and have one done privately.
That was going to be my next question, actually. How do I get my flu jab? I've had mine, I hasten to add.
Yeah, so if you're eligible on the NHS, contact your local GP surgery.
Right.
I know that for a fact that we still have immunisations left over in our surgery that we can give people if they want to give us a call.
But
as I said, if you're not NHS qualified, then you can pay, I think it's about £20 to have one done in the community at a pharmacy.
Do hospitals give it at all?
Not as far as I'm aware.
No. So thinking back to the COVID pandemic, when we were totally unprepared, do we have good stocks of the flu vaccine then?
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yes, we do.
Well, that's very reassuring.
Your surgery, your own surgery will have prepared itself so that we order our flu vaccines well in advance for the number of people that we know are within our practice population who qualify for it.
Right.
So we have enough for everybody.
You're born pessimists, son, are you?
Pragmatists, Terry, I think. I suppose we are pessimistic about a lot of things, but we know generally how many patients generally step forward.
Yes.
To get a flu vaccine, and we try and balance it out very carefully, but inevitably every year there will be people who qualify who don't step forward, and I'm here really to encourage everybody as far as they can to step forward and get it done.
What's the worst scenario of if you don't get a vaccination and you get the flu, could you possibly die from it?
Yes, you definitely can. And
that's a sobering thought.
Yes, it's a very sobering thought. And the more vulnerable you are, so if you're older, particularly with other medical problems,
yes,
then you're at much greater risk. And people do die of the flu.
Right.
Hence the message today.
Yes. Yeah. So would you say that the key tips are to act early, get vaccinated as soon as possible for the best protection, to check eligibility, confirm if you're eligible for a free NHS, and if you're not, book an appointment at a local pharmacy and get more information.
That is exactly what I'm trying to convey today. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you ever so much for coming along, Dr. Carruthers. It's been fascinating, as usual, to talk to you about these things. They're always more complicated than what you ever think, aren't they?
Always, yes. Yes, medicine is an extremely complicated world to live in, believe me.
As I've said before, I could never make a doctor because I can't pronounce or remember the medical terms.
It's a whole new language to learn.
From Beverley FM, please convey to all your staff at the surgery that we hope they have a very happy Christmas and obviously a healthy new year. And I'm sure that they've all been very good during 2025, like yourself, and Santa will be paying you a visit.
Thank you very much, Terry, and happy Christmas to you and to everybody who's listening.
Now, tell me, have you sent your list to Santa yet?
I have, but whether I've been good enough or not this year, I'll find out on the 25th of December.
Okay, thank you very much, and all the very best.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.